We seem to be speaking about teenagers quite a bit this month, and that may be because I've got one in the house for the first time as of a month or so ago. But it's really a conversation that I think we can't have enough. Advice and strategies for living happily and consciously parenting the millennials and the Generation Zers coming up behind them. Joining me in studio today is Megan De Beer, who is a Cape Town psychologist and relationships facilitator. She's been running parenting courses for 12 years now, I think it is, Megan, and has wonderful advice to share with parents, and particularly these days doing so via the Facebook group, which I've mentioned before in this segment, called The Village. Such good advice, parents sharing their questions, sharing their problems, sharing solutions that have worked for them. Megan, welcome. It's lovely to have you back with us after a gap of far too long. Nice to have you with us.
Yes, glad to be here, Pippa.
The Village has really taken off, hasn't it?
It's unbelievable. It shows you what a need there is for parents out there to engage with other parents and discover that they're not alone in this kind of quite hard quest in raising teenagers who are pretty different to us as adults and living, you know, quite a digitally savvy lifestyle.
Because, of course, that is the big challenge. The way that we are raising our kids is so radically different from the way we were raised. If you only look as far as the screens, I remember a time before television, let alone a time before the internet or the computer, whereas my kids have been working with devices for years already.
Yeah, I mean, certainly for my parents, it was, what are you doing in the house? Get outside and play. And then the only thing you had to play with was a hose pipe.
But you had to make your own game,
And you made your own game, or you kind of fantasized a lot in your play. Whereas today, the digitally savvy teenagers don't really have to imagine a lot for themselves, because our screens are so full of just amazing visuals and information and stuff to engage with. So it's raising what an anthropological psychologist called the cyberborg. So if you didn't know there was a name for our teenagers out there attached to their screen, it's called cyberborgs. And she's got particular anthropologist got great way of saying, because great thing that she's saying, because she says we've always used tools. Mm. And is a screen just not another tool that human beings are engaged with?
That this is what we've evolved to. Okay, interesting question. All right, so let's talk a little bit about some of the definitions before we drill down into talking more about screen time, how much is too much, and the differences between what's happening online and what's happening in the real world. Millennials in general, I think, have a bad rap, and it's not always fair, Megan. We're constantly being told they're self-absorbed, they operate on instant gratification, they don't know the value of setting a goal and working towards it patiently, that they're addicted to technology, that they can't hold a decent conversation. Some of that criticism warranted, but I mean, you look at the young adults of today. So the millennials are coming of age as we speak. I'm seeing courageous leadership. I'm seeing young people willing to stand up and speak out against what they see is wrong in the world. We've seen some incredibly brave young people taking on challenges that the country's been struggling with for 20 years plus. Do you think they are unfairly maligned?
I think you're quite right. There is a side that we see in the homes that is incredibly distracted and very self-absorbed. So no wonder they have been called the me generation. Mm-hmm. But there's no doubt that they understand collaboration, and the world really needs that. So they understand how to deal collaboratively. They have, strangely enough, a lot of patience with the group that they engaged with. They also can take an instruction if you've got a reason for giving that instruction. They're quite time urgent, so they do get things done. I also found that there's a kind of split in this millennium group worldwide. Mm-hmm. Some of them remaining high consumers, so not that engaged with the environment as we were hoping, but others who are incredibly environmentally savvy, environmentally involved, and also engaged with social issues. It's this next generation that's growing up that we are noticing that are kind of very involved with equality and very aware of equality, and they're saying, if we're going to be working in groups, let's let's all be equal. So there's a kind of a strong emphasis in this new generation, which is called Generation Z or Generation Z, coming up after the millennials, and they're teenagers right now. And so there's hope that although they're also going to have a short attention span and a need for great stimulation at all times, they seem to want to work hard. So they've kind of come back around again and saying, we want to work hard, we want to make an impression on the world, we want to also be able to, as I used the word earlier, collaborate, which I think is incredible, because we, the baby boomers as well as Generation Generation X, was kind of very individualistic focused, like I want my work-life balance and I want to get pleasure out of my life. And whereas this generation is saying, no, we need to work together because of the World Wide Web. They know that it's all about togetherness.
So certainly it's something that is a valuable tool for making the world smaller and accessible in every corner, just about. But you've mentioned something that worried me about these digitally savvy teens who don't have to imagine a lot for themselves. I'm thinking back to my kids' days in nursery school, and they were at a Waldorf school, which was very anti-screens. And the message that we got from the teacher was, boredom is a gift. Let your child be bored. Let them explore and imagine and find something to occupy themselves, and let them learn the skill of being comfortable with themselves and not having to have somebody else stimulate them all the time. How do you marry those two?
I think it's very difficult for us to understand what's happening to our teenagers today, because there's this constant stimulation, constant involvement with the screens, not only with them but in the family as well. I walked into a home the other day. It was completely silent. Why? Dad was on his desktop, Mom was on her laptop, 4-year-old daughter was on her iPad, and the teens were on their phones, and the household was silent. So it's not only our teenagers. We are
guilty,
fully
charged,
engaged and involved. And I think what's happened with screens is that it's become an addictive pattern. And this young generation of teens of being, what we're seeing is a phone separation anxiety. Wow. How's that for a new term? You know, we all know separation anxiety, but now there's this phone separation anxiety, because the phone is almost an extension of the self. We're kind of outsourcing our brain, we're outsourcing our memory, information's at our fingertips, we don't have to learn anymore. And so consequently, the imagination is being affected. So that sense of play is no longer directed through the imagination. Play is now directed through our phones, or our screens, and we can collaborate and join in with other people during gaming. And that's becoming incredibly advanced. There's some upsides, because kids are learning, and there's great cognitive skills that are being learned through gaming. But it's when it becomes addictive and it's constant that it's now a problem. And why? Why does it become so addictive? Why is it so alluring? I think the first thing is this thing of meaninglessness. There is a meaninglessness that's happened because the large number of people that have become quite homogenized. So we're saying with this generation, they're the most homogenized generation ever. And that means it's a global community and they're being influenced by each other globally. So at any one time in South Africa, if a certain type of genes become popular here, guaranteed. They're also popular in Japan, they're popular in China, they're popular in America, and they're popular in New Zealand, and all teens of that age are wearing those same jeans. It's the first time in human history where that kind of homogenization and global trends go viral simultaneously so quickly. So because of this homogenization, there's such a need to be able to have a voice, to be able to be seen. So kids are doing this through social media to feel that they have a voice, that they can be seen, that they are different, that they have got something to say, and that they have got an opinion. So it's trying to sort of challenge what they're feeling as this meaninglessness as a result of lack of real connection, so real face-to-face contact, real face-to-face time, time off from screens, seems to be increasing this sense of disconnection, disconnection from the self and disconnection from others. So they search for it through their social media engagement. That's the one why as to why it's so addictive. The other why is this, strangely enough, screens, phones do give us a sense of connection. So this is this crazy paradox. At any time, we can pick up our phone, put up a message on our Facebook, get a couple of likes, get a dopamine fix, bing, because we've got a ping going on and a like, so we feel like we've connected in with our community. And we're seeing it, you know, as you raised, on the village, which is our parenting Facebook site, which is like, you know, people are engaging and talking, and there's a real sense of support and connection. So there's those positive things. The other thing with gaming and teens is that any teen who's feeling quite sort of shy, withdrawn, scared of social engagement can be become quite powerful in their games. Mm-hmm. So there the imagination is engaged, because just like we used to play Superman or Spider-Man or goddess as a girl, as a teenager, and have a dress up time and imagine that we now the hero or the heroine of the world, you can now do that through gaming. And your imagination is fired up that now you can be in charge with your troops, your country, your you know, whatever, you're the island that you're building through your gamification. And it gives this great sense of powerfulness. And, of course, skills are learned through that, because there are kind of engagement skills that are learned through this process.
The big question for parents, I'm sure, is how do you take those skills that are being learned in the online sphere and help your child learn to apply them in real life? Because there comes a time at which the battery runs flat, or the cell phone signal is lost, or it's time for school or whatever it is, and devices have got to be put away. And then that child has to be able to interact face-to-face with an actual human being.
Yes.
How do you help the child channel those skills that they're learning online into real-time connections?
Yeah, sure. This is the challenge for us, Papa. It's such a challenge. So, I mean, obviously the best advice is to limit screen time. And even if it's done kicking and screaming, you've got to limit screen time. So it's really important that there are boundaries put around this, because the more a teen is engaged on the screen, the more he'll want to be, because it really gives that dopamine release. It also engages what's called the primitive brain, the fight and flight system. So it's very alluring to be pulled in constantly to screens. We also tend to build up our self-image and our sense of self through our social media, through our Instagrams and our Facebook. So we teens are in the throes of building identity, and they're now doing this through screens. So there's an outlet for a natural impulse to begin to build their sense of self through screens. So they want to continually supporting that, continually engage with that. So we have to put limits in, because they have to come back to real time with feet on the floor, feel the earth underneath their feet, engage with other people with their physical bodies, and therefore we just hope that the skills they're learning on screen then can be translated into real time, if they are having that real time. So there is a fear that social skills will be affected if there's constant screen time. So we've got to keep bringing our teen back to normal life and have switch off times. I love this idea of you know, no screen Sunday or no screen Friday night, or definitely no screens at supper time, and limit that. But do expect a moody, whiny child who's having a come down from a dopamine fix, because the games, the screen time, the Instagramming give them this dopamine fix. You pull them off the screens and there's a dopamine letdown, and therefore that's whining, moaning, how can you do this to me, mom, you're destroying my life, that is because of this dopamine come down. So we've got to be ready for that.
You mean it's not parents. Just because I'm a bad mother?
No, it's not because I'm a bad mother.
My guest in studio is psychologist Megan DeBayer. We're going to take a short break and then back with some more of her advice on parenting teens and particularly helping them with how to engage off social media and off screen as much as they're doing on screen. If you've got a comment, a question, or if you'd like to share your own experience, I hope you'll call us on 021-446-0567. We are broadcasting live from the head offices of Travel Start in Gardens today and delighted to see people trickling in to share their lunch with us, listening with great focus to my guest, Megan DeBayer, who is a Cape Town psychologist and relationships facilitator, who also helps run the wonderful Facebook group called The Village. And I've had a question from Leslie on the WhatsApp line asking where to find The Village. She's tried Googling it but couldn't find it. On Facebook, Megan?
On Facebook,
you just simply type in the words The Village, Leslie, and you should find find the group there. We've been talking about teens. We've been talking about their screen time, the dopamine fix they get from that screen time. I guess the big question is how, as parents, we help them find that fix offline, Megan. What's your advice? You've said it is important to set boundaries, to insist on time away from screens.
Yes, this is the hard chore for us because, in our busy, really stressed life where we're trying to find the balance between raising children, working, running a home, being a good mom, we've also got to come up with ways that we can stimulate and engage the short attention span of our young teenagers in natural ways. So these natural ways are called natural highs. And, of course, natural highs are real-life stuff. So we got to get back to family time, fun family time, that the kind of things we used to do with our own parents. So whether it's board games, playing a game of tennis together, going for a hike on the mountain, doing a mountain bike, walking the dogs, conversation time, doing things like if we have watched a movie together, then discussing the movie. Like having an opportunity, and teens are, as we know, really opinionated. And so it's about time we become curious as parents as to their opinions and spend some time being curious about asking them questions about how they see things and where they think. And that's really quite naturally stimulating for them. However, teens do need natural highs. And as parents, we've got to find our ways back in to what are good, jolly family times, and how can we engage our parents and our children instead of just taking them to shopping malls or buying them yet another toy or us disappearing into screen time ourselves. As we've discovered, screen time is really convenient, and as someone just said just now in the room, it's a great babysitter. It's the best go-to babysitter. Just give your child a screen or your teenager a screen, and it kind of gives
you guaranteed some space to get something else done.
And we've got to watch ourselves on that. So we've got to lead by example. And where are those fun times we used to have? And there are truly beautiful, engaging times through good conversations, spending time in sport or activity. I certainly love a board game, whether it's chess or 30 seconds or any of those card games. I mean, I find a lot of fun in that and can engage teenagers of any age group with that.
We're currently addicted to Dixit. If you're looking for a good one, that's my recommendation.
Dixit.
Yeah, it's a great one. Megan, it's been wonderful having you with us. Thank you so much for popping in. And I hope some of our listeners will come looking for The Village on Facebook. So remember, firstly, look for the group there. You've also got a website we can direct them to for more info.
Yes, it's megandebayer.co.uk.
Megan DeBayer, and that's spelled DEBEYER.co.uk. Thanks so much for joining us today.